Dave.
I'm here.
Hey, what's going on?
Weezy.
My man, Weezy.
Hey, how's, nice. How's it going, guys?
Good, good, good. So everything is live. We up and running. This is a moment right here because all three of us is on at the same time. I'm loving it.
Finally got it worked out.
Yeah,
we did.
So anyway, let's get the ball rolling. We all pretty much touch base. We know what we're doing. Dave, I know yesterday we had the that first Rey and Anakin theory, and I know you was itching. Correct. So I'm definitely wanting to hear what you feel about it, and you too, Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, going back to kind of set this up for Wayne a little bit more. We had the discussion that we're not really sure who the Chosen One is at this point, right?
Right.
We have Anakin, who was prophesied to be the Chosen One.
Right.
But we have Rey, who at this point seems to have it kind of, almost figured.
Uh-oh. Well, we lost.
Oh, no.
We lost David. So
we did leave.
I don't know if he left, but I think he got disconnected. So I'm gonna pick it up. I'll pick it up from where he's at until hopefully we can get him back on in a second.
Definitely.
So as David was saying, we have Anakin, who was supposed to be the Chosen One, and then
right.
Basically at the end of Episode 6, you see him defeat Emperor Palpatine. And then, he dies. So basically, you're just left with Luke. Now, fast forward a little bit. Oh, now David's back.
Dave, you're back.
I don't know what happened, man. I hit my screen and it disappeared. But
it's all good though. It's all good. So do you
this is why it's a practice run, right?
No, ain't no practice.
Hey, David, do you want me to continue, or do you want to pick up from where you left off?
It's fine. It's fine either way. I mean, as long as we're on the same page as me and G, feel free to say what you think, man.
All right. So basically, to kind of pick up, before David got dropped off, I was kind of explaining to everybody that you have Anakin at the end of Episode 6, kill Emperor Palpatine, and then now you have Luke being the only, being the only known Force user left. Now, fast forward, several years, in the future, now you have Rey, who comes around, and then you also have Kylo Ren. So now, the whole theory is Rey the new Chosen One? And basically, this is where we're going to start the discussion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Agree. But I think the actual, what we were debating, though, and I think this is like, partly me getting cut off with, just a second ago. Was Anakin really the Chosen One? And that's the question, right?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think it's more or less like up until this point, we pretty much adopted Anakin as the Chosen One. And with all the new stuff, like, it's kind of like, is he still the Chosen One? I mean, it's like if there was a balance and then just what happened, did it get knocked out of whack? What happened?
Right.
So it was more or less like a, let's think about it from another perspective.
So, gee, I did tell you that I had my own theory about Anakin. And I wanted to fill you in on that. And what's interesting about it is it's not what we think. It's not maybe what we might like, if you will.
Right.
So Anakin, in my opinion, is the Chosen One.
Okay.
But what he did was not really, as far as like a good guy thing, was what we probably wanted to see. So did he ultimately bring balance to the Force? Yeah, he did. And how did he do that, though? He wiped out all the Jedi.
Now, also keep in mind, David, it was apparently he wiped out all the Jedi because he didn't know about Luke and he didn't know about Leia. But that in itself could have, like, you know, set up everything, you know, going forward. But like I said, as far as like Emperor Palpatine noted at that time, as far as Anakin, now Darth Vader at that time, do, you know, everybody was gone. You know, Obi-Wan went into hiding. So, you know, it looked like at that point, you know, the prophecy was fulfilled.
Well, let's go back a little bit, Weezy. I'm thinking more prequels era. So
right. I'm right there too. Like right at the end of episode 3, rolling right into 4. You know, that's where I'm at right now.
But let's go a little bit further back. So Anakin is conceived by the Force, as far as we know, right? We don't have any facts otherwise. Right? Right. His prophecy to the Jedi was he was the chosen one to bring balance to the Force. Well, was the Force balanced at that point? Who was the Force balanced? Jedi, not the Sith.
David, can you
hear me? Are you guys there?
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah, I'm here. Could you repeat what you said one more time? You were like, who was there? You were like the Jedi?
I'm sorry, man. So, and this is why it's a practice run, G.
Nah, it ain't no practice run. I think it was my phone. You're good. We're gonna publish this. This is good.
So Anakin is conceived by the Force, as far as we know. Mm-hmm. The prophecy is he's to bring balance to the Force. Well, what the Jedi don't know is that it's probably not in their favor. So they think he's some kind of like Messiah coming to rescue the, you know, the universe, the galaxy from the dark side of the Force. But if there's balance of the Force, then that means that it's not for anybody's benefit, really, honestly. And the Jedi, again, and Gerard, we've had this conversation, man. The Jedi are very close-minded. They think Anakin is, you know, he's the savior, he's the chosen one. But what they don't realize is that the Force doesn't benefit either side. And we see Anakin fulfill his prophecy, and we all, you know, are not happy with the way it works out, honestly, because he's in the temple killing younglings. But what is he actually doing? Right. He's balancing the Force.
Right. He is, and that's what we were kind of elaborating. It's kind of like, it's almost like, I can't remove 7 and 8. You know, I have to look at the continuation of it, and I have to listen to what Luke said. He basically broke it down to Rey on Ahch-To. He was like, it was a Jedi who was responsible for the training and the creation of Darth Vader. And she was like, it was also a Jedi who was responsible for, turning him or saving him. So it was like, did we lose David again?
I think we may have lost David. Just keep rolling with it. He'll come back.
Okay, cool. So, you know, it's hard to like, you know, Weezy, it's hard to separate 7 and 8. Now, we may have had, and I wish D was on for this one, but we may have, so try to remember this, but we may have had balance for a time through Anakin. But if we look at the state of affairs now, you know, the galaxy is kind of back to where it was, minus, you know, the differences of, you know, killing Supreme Leader early. So it's like this continuation. I definitely feel Darth Vader bought balance to the Force. It's just that with the revelations of Luke and all the stuff that he is saying about what happened, it's like maybe there's a person that to bring balance to the Force ever so often. Because yes, Darth Vader did kill Palpatine. Yes, he did kill the Jedi. He did bring balance. But then it's like, now we're out of whack again. Like,
and I got another part.
You know, so it's like...
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, Dave, before you got dropped off, I was elaborating on how, you know, just for me personally, it's difficult to look at the stories and separate them in a sense. Like, I have to listen to what Luke said in the last episode about, you know, that it was a Jedi who was responsible for the training, you know, and creation of Darth Vader, and how Rey responded. Well, it was a Jedi who saved him. So we have like this balance. Definitely when Darth Vader did what he did, it brought peace to the galaxy and it brought balance for a time. But I'm starting to think that the Force is, like you said, to no one's real benefit, because it's bigger than one single personification. Right. Like, the Force is bigger. Like, if it chooses to be balanced through Anakin for that however long, that 50, 40, 30 years, then it brought balance. But what just happened? You know, like, the galaxy is all spun up right. again. So it's like, we do get this piece. What Anakin did is, like, epic, but it's like, where do we go now?
I totally agree, but I actually have, you know, I have a second part to my point, wanted to use to kind of tie all the movies together, and I wanted to get to that, but let me interject this point
real quick, Dave. Let me interject this point before I lose it. So basically, at what I was trying to say in a nutshell, Darth Vader. Like, I think maybe in this story of Star Wars, maybe in the story of the Force, I think we may have people or certain persons to bring the Force to balance during, like, the
time. I totally agree.
Possibly. That could be where we're headed.
I agree 100%. Weezy, what you think, man?
So, I've been looking at some things online. And, you know, regarding to the Force, and I'm kind of drawn back to what Yoda said to Mace Windu in episode 3. And I'm actually going to quote this, or I'll actually kind of paraphrase it. They were having a conversation about the prophecy, and Mace, kind of pointed out that the prophecy could be misunderstood. If the prophecy only says that the Chosen One would bring balance in the Force, you know, so you kind of got to look at the situation there. With the Sith, they've always had their rule of two. There's always a master and an apprentice. But if you look at the Jedi Council at that time, like between episodes 1 and 3, you know, they had like all these Jedi masters. They, like, you know, you have the Jedi Master and the Padawans, and then you have all the younglings in the temple. Now, if you look at the prophecy, you know, as far as bringing things back into balance, wouldn't you look at that situation and then see that as being a complete imbalance at that point?
Well, Weezy, and that's the thing. I agree with what David was saying. Like, the Jedi thought that it was going to be this heroic. Like, they didn't anticipate Anakin killing younglings, losing his limbs, losing Padme, going into a dark suit, and helping Palpatine eliminate the rest. They didn't anticipate that. So, and that was like that was one of the points in the last podcast, because it's like, if J.J. Abrams really wants to run with that line, a prophecy misread could have been, they could leave it right there, like what Dave was saying, like they didn't anticipate Anakin flipping like that. They thought it was going to be, you know, Mr. Laser sword, wavy hair, you know, cape, and, you know, Mr. Heroic, but it actually was the opposite. He flipped on him, killed them, and then ultimately killed Palpatine, so it was a total opposite. So Yoda could have been referring it to that, or if J.J. Abrams wants to take it further, he could say, prophecy misread, look at what we have now in 9.
Yep, and I want to finish my theory, but I'm going to let Weezy go ahead and finish what he was trying to get to.
Well, you know, a couple other things I was kind of looking at. So if you look at those, if you look at what happened at the, you know, in episode 3, you have the Jedi Order being wiped out. You have most of the Jedi being like hunted down and killed. You have, you know, Anakin doing his turn, because at that time Palpatine, you know, all of his Sith, like all of his apprentices were killed up to that point. So, you know, he didn't have anybody, you know, directly, you know, under him to basically say, hey, this is what we need to do. Like, you know, you need to go out and go do this. It was him, because you had Darth Maul like die. You had the other Sith at that time? Count Dooku. Like, he ended up dying also. So, you know, at that point, you know, there was no balance. Like, I see it as there was no balance. And then Anakin doing, flipping over to the dark side and then doing all those things, you know, ended up balancing it out at that time. Now, if you look at the, you know, the original trilogy, you look at, okay, the Emperor's still there. you still have Darth Vader, but really Ben was, or Obi-Wan or Ben Kenobi was kind of out of the picture at that point. And really the Empire and the Sith were kind of running rampant. Anakin Skywalker, you know, the other of, you know, that's a balance in that particular part of the story. You have a Jedi that had to go out, he had to find Yoda, because also Yoda was, like, gone. He was out of the picture, too. You know, he was kind of trained by Ben. Ben dies, you know, confronting his old Padawan. He has to go out and find Yoda, and Yoda, like, you know, trains him, and then Luke is like, oh, I sense there's, like, there's an issue here with, like, my friends. I gotta go find them. And Yoda's like, no, you cannot go. Your training is not complete. But by the end of that story, you know, you have an imbalance again. You know, Vader flips on the Emperor. He ends up killing him. And then now you only have one Force user in Luke. So now, if you look at the end...
Sorry, Wizzy. That's one thing I'm going to actually tie into what I was talking about before.
Mm-hmm.
My theory about that, how that works.
All right. Do you want to go ahead and pick this one up at this part, David?
I mean, I can.
All right, go ahead.
Hey, man, you got anything else you want to add to that?
Oh, no, just I'm totally listening.
All right, go ahead, David.
I wasn't trying to cut you off, Wayne.
No. I'm like, well, I'll make this final point and then I'll let you have the floor, David.
No, it's cool, man. Take your time.
So basically, at the end of episode 6, you have one Force user, you have a Jedi, you know, the good, you know, the, you know, good and evil, you know, good's balanced, like, you know, good, if there's good, there's no evil guy, apparently, to everybody, you know, thought, oh, the Sith order Sith is done, because the Emperor's gone, Vader's gone, Luke ends up, you know, being, like, the big hero at the end, and everybody's thinking, oh, well, This is all good, well and good. We're finally, you know, finally free of this. Now you look at episode 7. Now after Luke had defeated, you know, or Luke had withstood that trial, he goes out. He actually starts his own temple, started training people. You have almost the exact same thing happen, where you have a Force user, you know, flip out. And, you know, just because, like, you know, he thought that, you know, Kylo thought that, oh, Luke's going to kill me. You know, that was kind of partially explained in episode 8, you know. And basically with that whole entire situation there, now you have, and I really wouldn't consider Kylo really, like, a Sith at this point. But, I mean, he's definitely an antagonist, but I don't think he's, like, a full-on Sith, but you have Kylo, you have Rey, you had Snoke for a period of time, you know, kind of enter the fray. And now, you know, towards, like, you know, now we're at the end of 8. Now you have Luke supposedly is gone. And I'm pretty sure we'll get into that topic of conversation another day. You have Rey that's left. You have Kylo that's left. You know, one, you know, that tends to tilt towards, like, the, you know, the bad side of the Force. You have one that tends to tilt towards the good side of the Force. So you can kind of say at this juncture, at episode 8, it's kind of imbalanced at this point. But that's where I'm
totally agree.
That's where I'm going to end it. But go ahead, Dave.
Totally agree. Gee, what do you...
Dave, right? Yeah, before you get into that, I mean, I would definitely... And that's what I was saying earlier about the Force being, like, personified, like, not belonging to a particular side, not belonging to Sith and not belonging to Jedi. And Wayne, what I would say is I agree to a certain extent. It's like if Rey and Kylo, which I do agree with you, they are like the personification of the balance right now. Like you said, one tends to lean more this way, the other tends to lean more that way. And I totally agree with you. But to me, the incredible dynamic about that is how they interact with each other dictates the fate of what's going on. You know what I mean? Like, these two, you know, they kill Snoke together. Oh, we lost D again. Okay. These two kill Snoke together in his throne room,
mm-hmm.
right? But then can't come to an agreement at the same time. You see right. what I'm saying? And Luke said it to her to say that the Force dies, you know, to say that the light dies because the Jedi do is vanity. You know, can you feel that? You know, it's like, I agree with you. These two kind of embody the balance right now in the Star Wars universe. But I feel ultimately that what happens with that balance depends on how Kylo and Rey develop and what their relationship is. Because obviously the writers chose to take it and make it a little bit more intimate. It's like, you know, it's like she's this and he's that. But then again, they're in Octu in the hut, like touching and, you know, shedding tears. You feel me? So totally agree with you. These two like are the personification of the balance right now in the Star Wars universe. I agree with you. But I do feel that it's taken a more personal turn. How these two interact with each other, like when he reached out his hand and he's like, join me, and she's like, Ben, don't do this. All I could think about was it was kind of like a reminiscent of like Anakin and Padme on
Moon. Yeah, I totally agree.
When Anakin's like, when he's like, come with me. And she's just like, Anakin, you're going down a path I can't follow. And he's like, don't you turn against me, you know? And he's just, he's like, I can overthrow the Chancellor. Like, he's just having these delusions of grandeur. And she's just like, I can't do it. And here we have the most powerful, like Dave was saying earlier, like we all agree, the chosen one, Anakin Skywalker, who became Darth Vader, a lot of his moves were based on personal relationships and personal motives.
Yeah, well,
and that's what I like about, you know, where we're
headed. That's the whole way Palpatine got him. You know,
right.
is by playing the card where he was gonna, you know, his wife was gonna die.
Right. And this is what, and to me, Dave, and I'm going to end it right here before we get to the next thing. That's where I feel it's great, because the Force now is not embodied in the Sith code. It's not embodied in the Jedi code. It's embodied in these two individuals, and how they deal with each other and what happens between these two directly affects the fate of the galaxy.
I agree for sure. They're kind of like yin and yang, honestly.
Yes. Yes.
That's what I was going to bring up next.
Here's what I'm going to say about that, though. I'm sorry, Weezy, real quick. What I find is going to be interesting is for J.J. Abrams to figure out who is going to be the antagonist. Because I feel like I agree with Gerard, like Ben and Rey are kind of going to be like the balancing of episode 9. But there's still going to have to be some type of
against, yeah.
You know, and this, and gee, we talked about this before. You know, who's Ren? Who is this this Ren person? Kylo Ren, Knights of Ren. Who is this Ren person? We don't know that yet. I think that's something.
I know. Think,
you know, we can talk about that down the road as well. But I think that's pretty exciting, honestly. The fact that, you know, Kylo and Rey are they have such a chemistry with one another that obviously they're not going to be enemies in 9. It's not, you can kind of see the writing on the wall at this point.
But really, like, I just don't see like how that's going to come up where they're not going to be enemies. Like right now, if you look at how 8 ended. You have Kylo.
The only way I could see them being enemies is if Rey flips.
I can kind of see that.
Like, I agree. Like, this, yeah, I agree with that.
But,
like, if Rey flips, that's it. Like, to me, I think this last trilogy is leading up to the anthology, because I don't think you can fit it all in 9. I really
don't. Kylo is this dude that has he's like an egg. He's got a dark shell, but in the middle is light.
Agreed.
And I think if Ray flips and commits herself to the other side, he's, you know, that's the only thing I can see them could see causing a rift between them two.
Well, I go back to the scene like in 8 where Ray was, you know, doing her force training. And if you guys remember, there was one scene where there was this, you know, apparently this, like, you know, really dark place. It was like a hole where, you know, where this, you know, where the dark side of the force, it was calling to her.
And she went right there.
And she went there willingly. And, you know, she was, like, really, really exploring, you know, that part of the force. Like, yeah, Luke had shown her, like, hey, this is, like, this is the teachings of the Jedi. This is what we do. This is the part of the force that we deal with. And I almost kind of look at, you know, Ben kind of, I look at Ben and I look at him, you know, in the way that you described it, David. Like, he is, like, you know, he has a really hard outer shell. I feel like that he's very misunderstood in a lot of cases. I feel like that, you know, basically the circumstances of him, you know, being where he's at, like, very tragic. But there is that, you kind of see, you know, parts of him where he's like, you know, like the fighter scene where he had a clear shot of the bridge of the, you know, of actually the transport getting away. Could have, like, killed his mother at that point. Decided not to do it. He was just, he didn't have a heart to do it. Then you also look at the situation where the next situation where, you know, the throne room where, you know, he and Rey are there. They're actually, you know, after they, you know, dispatch of the Knights of Ren, after they defeat Snoke, now they're having a heart to heart, you know, and it just seems like he's like, hey, like, you know, you're just like me. You know, you're very much like me. You know, I feel the connection. You know, it's almost like he doesn't necessarily want to be on the dark side. He just wants somebody to understand him.
I being like a Kylo Ren enthusiast, and y'all both know, like, researching the character, man, and like researching his origin and watching his character development, Ben is, he's light, but Ben needs a lesson. Now, if you guys remember, and Dave, I mean, come on, man. Y'all, you guys know. Like, I am, like, come on. I got the silencer on my dashboard in my Camaro.
Like, I was just about to make a joke. I'm going to be like, geez, like, when do you like Kylo Ren? Come on, man. For real?
Like, I'm 100 miles an hour on Route 5. Like, I'm you know, whatever. Like, so I agree with you, but this is the thing that about being, you know, what, like Anakin, what he had to go through. Ben needs a little bit of humbling. I think Ben is going to get set up with a wake-up call of some sort. The way that General Hux was looking at him at the end of that movie on Crate has me to believe that there might be some sort of mutiny against Ben, some sort of betrayal with Hux and Ben's either something. I just don't fully. I was glad that he killed Snoke. I was glad that he took the reins of the First Order. I was glad that he bashed his mask. I was glad that he did what he did. But part of realizing who the character is understanding that before they get to what Dave was saying, that light. Before Kylo is fully engulfed in that light, he is going to be humbled in some sort of way. And I'm afraid that it's going to be worse than, like, the battle on Starkiller Base. And that's my guy. Like, I really feel for his character. When I watch his character, it reminds me of Anakin out of the suit. That's my guy. But I do believe that Ben Solo is on the path to be, like, you know, smacked in the face. Something's going to wake him up to bring him to the light.
So here's a question. Here's a question real quick.
Yeah.
You think he knew his grandfather was considered the chosen one?
Exactly, Dave. The thing about it is, and that's what makes Luke's see when we talk in 7 and 8, I don't want anybody to ever get it confused that 4, 5, and 6 is embedded. It's like 4, 5, and 6 is so embedded in my brain that a lot of what I say in confidence about 7 and 8 comes from 4, 5, and 6. Because if you pay attention to the Star Wars formula, like, they literally, if Luke comes back as a Force ghost and tells Ben about his granddad, it's just like when Return of the Jedi, when Ben disclosed to him from a certain point of view, hey, you didn't tell me that. Remember that revelation? Luke had it on Episode 5, but when Ben showed up again, when Obi-Wan Kenobi showed up on Dagobah, Luke was like, Ben, like, why didn't you tell me that Darth Vader was my father?
That's a good He's point. Like,
Luke, you know what I'm saying? So Luke never had a chance to sit Ben down, number one, and say, look, I did prejudge what I felt. I'm sorry. And number two, like, you're great. We come from a lineage of yada, yada. Like, what Rian Johnson did in terms of wiping the canvas had to be done, because if you try to beef it up, I believe at that point, it would have convoluted the story. Now J.J. Abrams can really go. Just like Empire Strikes Back, when Luke had his hand cut off and Darth Vader was like, I'm your father. At the end of that movie, when his hand is on his sister's shoulder and they're looking out into the galaxy, it's like, where do we go from here? And then it's like Return of the Jedi. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I think 9 is a little bit more of a blank canvas than that, because it was kind of like, you know, they were, you know, talking, Lando was like, I'm going to, you know, find Han. And,
agreed.
We still knew that Darth Vader was there and Palpatine was there and stuff like that. But
Dave, I love that point, Dave. And that's why I'm glad J.J. Abrams is doing it, because this is what I will say outside of my joy of Kylo Ren and all this other stuff. J.J. Abrams did a Wayne, you still here?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. I personally believe that J.J. Abrams did a better job in kind of sprinkling the old in with the new, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel what I mean, like Kylo Ren talking to his grandfather's helmet.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. Like a little bit more, maybe a little bit more elaboration on the Knights of Ren.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? J.J. Abrams did a little bit better job of sprinkling the old in with the new. I like Kylo talking to his granddad's helmet. I liked the dialogue between, you know, Han and Leia and how it was reminiscent. Now, I do feel Rian Johnson with 3PO and Leia, like, wipe that nervous expression off your face, 3PO. That was pretty cool. I like when Luke was like, Chewie, what are you doing here? Like, those moments are special to me because those are reminiscent of the old. But I do feel that J.J. Abrams has the one up when it comes to sprinkling the old with the new. But Dave, man, that was an excellent point about Ben not knowing his grandfather and what actually happened, and Luke coming back and filling him in. That would be just.
I like where this conversation is going. I'm gonna kind of backtrack a little bit. Let's talk about Rey now. Really, like, the crux of, like, the original question, you know, who's the chosen one? You look at Anakin, you look at Rey. Rey, like, we've kind of got a little bit of the backstory, but we also know a little bit of her story. You know, she's one of those people, like, you know, kind of how Anakin was, you know, just raw, like, has, like, all this untapped potential, you know, to be a really awesome Force user, but because of circumstances, you know, leading up to the point where she ended up meeting Luke at the end of Episode 7, you know, we have these questions of, like, who are her parents? You know, who is this person? Why does she have this, you know, propensity to use the Force? Like, you know, it, like, where's all this, like, raw power coming from with her? Now, at this point, you know, when you look at the end of Episode 8, it shows, like, you know, shows her, you know, ending up saving the rest of the Resistance, whatever's left of them. And it appears, you know, at the end of Episode 8, you know, you have Kylo on, you know, on the you know, on the dark side, and you have Rey on the white. But there's still a lot of unanswered questions with Rey regarding, like, her past, And I don't necessarily buy, you know, like, oh, your parents were nobodies. I don't buy that necessarily. I think,
of course not. Like, that's, yeah.
I personally think that there's going to be like a really big revelation, like, to come out of nine, like, you know, somewhere within like the whenever that first act, or maybe even the second act, that's going to cause her to, that's going to cause her to flip. I think that you're going to have her potentially flip, and I think you're going to have Kylo probably flip. Like, you know, flip over to the other side of the Force, you know, probably within that first and second act, setting up this this final act. But, you know, getting back to, you know, the original question, again, Kylo, you know, destroyed, you know, Luke's Jedi Temple, wiped out everybody, you know, thought he killed Luke. Luke goes into hiding. There's just the dark side at this point. And, you know, Rey, you know, coming out of nowhere, restoring that balance. You know, the question is, like, really, like, what...
Gee, is there a mountain lion in your bedroom, F?
I think there is.
No, that was the cross guard light.
But, yeah, but the real question is like, is she the chosen one, like, now? Or was there ever a chosen one?
See, that's the thing that I love about the whole Star Wars universe, because, like, the lineage, like, the loyalty to 4, 5, and 6, it's kind of like what Dave was saying earlier, the yin and the yang. I do believe that these two, personify the Force and personify, like, the balance. I do feel, and like I said on the last podcast, I'm really not a proponent of a concept of Reylo, and you're not gonna see me like posting memes with hearts and them two sending flowers and none of that.
I don't believe you.
But what I do support is, like, if these two potentially, if they came together in a way, I mean, but like woman and man, like, that's, I mean, Star Wars is a love story. Anakin and Padme. I mean, it was brother and sister. It was, you know, it's Luke and Leia. I mean, it's like, there are proponents of love throughout.
And the Han, you had Han and Leia in the original trilogy. I agree with you.
Yes, 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 Dave. The Han and Leia. I mean, these are, and the writers, like Larry Kasdan was like, I had to create a love scene. I mean, I had to create the element of romance without interjecting the mush, you know? So this could be, like I said earlier, I think the fate of the galaxy and the Force being that these two being the personification of the balance, the only way I believe that it will be balanced will be like the merger of these two, you know, man and woman. Now, if it doesn't go that way, guys, I can't call it. I've been so deep into the character evolution of these people individually, I can't call where it's going now.
I think a key really is going to be also where like Weezy was saying, where Rey is coming from.
That's what I wanted to say real quick, Dave. My fingers are crossed, and you guys, I mean, my fingers are crossed. I'm looking at the Alec Guinness figurine 40th anniversary right now in the box. I hope. And
by the way, when you sent me that picture, I don't think I've ever been more jealous of you, Barbara.
I'm going to get you one and bring it to you, bro. I swear, bro. I hope and pray that she's a Kenobi, because that to me, Obi-Wan Kenobi, because I was such a fan of Darth Vader, it took me a long time to garner like a love for Obi-Wan Kenobi, but when I finally got a love for Obi-Wan Kenobi, I latched on, and it's just grown ever since. And I really hope, because what he did was honorable. What Obi-Wan Kenobi did for his friend Anakin Skywalker was honorable. He was hard on him, yes. You know, Anakin had his issues, but Anakin pushed the line, you know, trying to kill his friend. And what Obi-Wan Kenobi did by sparing his life, he left him to die, but he spared him, like, not putting the lightsaber through him. Like it was honorable. Then he took his children, which he didn't have to do. He could have looked at his offspring and been like, yo, if what took place in him is going to take place in these, man,
I don't want any parts
he didn't do that.
And that's why he took Luke to Tatooine, and then watched him for 20 years.
Right. Shadows. And another thing, Dave, I want to highlight the way that so in the day George Lucas, based on what he had to work with, and that's why I love his creation. Based on what he had to work with, he still interjected seeding to where he would seed something and plant it, and then he could grow it later. That's one of his things. And it's a part of the Star Wars formula that now has grown into they're able to do seeding, and then they can plant whole movies like Rogue One, like Solo. They can plant something. Now they can interject a whole movie about what they planted. So what I'm hoping is Rey's lineage as a Kenobi is revealed in 9, and then we get the Kenobi Solo film, because we have to be filled in.
It would be pretty amazing.
I want her to be a Kenobi, but if she's not, no sweat off my back. I'm gonna still love it. But Dave, Wayne, I just hope she's a Kenobi.
I'm on the same page. Weezy, what you got, man?
I'm gonna throw a little twist in this right now. So, what if? And this is something that, like, I've never brought up until now. What if at the end of episode 9, you have a showdown with Rey and Kylo, and they basically kill each other? Wouldn't that also balance the Force out? Because there would be no Force users left.
I mean, it would balance the Force.
Yeah, throw that. I mean, like, what if that happens? That they could throw, J.J. Abrams, like, with the way that 8 ended. He has, like, yes, he's taking over from 9, where everybody really, like, majority of the Star Wars fandom didn't really like 8. But what if, what if you had a situation like that, where you had...
Okay, let me interject real quick, Wayne. The actual census now is the more people watch it, the more they love it.
Okay.
Sorry. Go ahead.
But what if you have, like, a situation where you have, like I said, there's no other way to deal with this? Because, like, apparently now it just looks like there's only two Force users right now. You have, like, Kylo leaning towards the dark side, you have Rey leaning towards the light. What if at the end of episode 9 you actually have a situation where they are fighting each other and they end up killing one another?
I definitely, like, it's an open platform. I mean, that's pretty strong theory. I mean, if that happened, bro, I mean, so be it. I would still watch it. I'd still love that Star Wars. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that would completely decimate the universe. That would be, it would end the eternal conflict between those two individuals. But as we both know now, according to Luke, the Force is not bound to a person. So, like, when that little boy reached out for that broomstick at the very end and it flew to his hand, that's showing you that the Force, it chooses who's it's who's most receptive to the Force. So if Kylo and Rey did die, so be it. But it doesn't stop the propensity of the Force, and it doesn't stop, it moving forward. It's because Luke already said that. To say that the light dies because the Jedi do is vanity. And to say that the dark side dies because the Sith are no longer existence, that's a lie too. The Force chooses its user. But consider this, Wayne. I wanted to throw a twist in there. What if these two, being the leaders of both sides, united those armies against a greater threat? Like Dave didn't say that portion, but Dave was like, what if those two come together and fight? It's like those two are the leaders of, one is the leader of the Resistance, and the other one is the leader of the First Order.
Real quick, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Dave.
I keep getting dropped off here. We'll figure it out though.
Yeah. But like, consider that, Wayne. What if they, what if those two came together and united the First Order and the Resistance?
I mean,
wouldn't that bring? Wouldn't that, like, balance doesn't have to always come through death. The way that it's looking now, it may come through love in a union, or it could come through peace. Or, like you said, it could come through them both killing each other. Who knows?
Well, I like those points, but I also, I'm going to kind of go back to, you know, like, you know, something that Luke said earlier in episode 8. He said something about the Jedi, you know, the Jedi must die. Like, you know, so, like, when you kind of, like, when you're looking at that, like, that particular piece of...
He said the Jedi, he said the Jedi should end, which means basically that part of the Force should...
Yeah, those books, all that stuff needs to go.
Towards what the Force actually is.
Right, but wouldn't... But if the Jedi end and the Sith are still around, like, wouldn't you need to have the Sith, like those teachings completely gone too, in order...
Those teachings are gone. I mean, what Ben did was just based on, like, emotion. Like, if you look at it, he pretty much didn't kill Rey, and he went against what his master told him to do. Like, if he had killed Rey, it would have been bad. Like, he didn't kill her, he killed Snoke. So there's no Sith code when it comes to Ben. And as far as Rey goes, Luke did not pass down the Jedi teachings to Rey.
I think to this point, as far as we know, the Sith died with Palpatine, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's like what you said, Weezy. You said that you don't feel like Kylo is a Sith. And I don't think anybody, you know, disagrees with you on that. Like, he's kind of a, you know, a dark side user, but he's not a Sith per se.
Okay. So let's kind of shift the topic here to episode 9. I know that we're at least a year out at this point, probably a year and a half out from when that movie's coming out. You know, what's your guys' expectations on the movie? You know, where do you think that they can take the story from this point? And actually, you know, where do you expect it to go? David, go ahead and pick that up.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is something that, you know, we might be on here for like 3 more hours if we start going down this path.
let's keep this one a little short.
We'll keep it in a nutshell, man. Honestly, I kind of agree with G. I think Rey and Kylo are going to somehow team up again with one another, and I feel like we're going to learn something really crazy. Again, this is my opinion. I haven't watched any speculation. I'm not sending G any like crazy theory videos. Even though I know he loves them. But that's what I think. I mean, I think, like...
We lost David. We'll get him back in a second. Go ahead, G. You do that, and then when he comes back, we'll pick up the rest of his thoughts.
Definitely. Episode 9, man. I'm going to be honest with you, Wayne. What I really liked about episode 8 was the spotlight on this force connection, this ability to talk to each other over distances. Rian Johnson, he went ahead and captured that with Luke and Leia, like George Lucas had done, you know, Luke, you know, Leia, or like when Luke was like father and, you know, Darth Vader was like son. I like how this thing, this force connection thing, is developing. And I think that's going to be an integral part of the Star Wars story, or, you know, this trilogy right here between Kylo and Rey. I hope to see the return of the Hutts. Like, I want to see those those creatures come back. I'd like to see a new bounty hunter, to be honest with you. I want to see
Go ahead.
The Dave went out again. I want to see where Finn and Rose go. I think that needs a little bit harder of a spin. Like, it started out real nice, real beautiful, real cute, but I think that needs a harder of a spin. I want to see DJ. I want to see DJ get reprimanded for his actions. My main thing is Wayne with episode 9. I like the development of this thing with the Force connection, talking to each other, full conversations over distances, because you get a chance to look into the personal feelings of these characters. And when they're talking to each other, George Lucas started it between Luke and Leia. Luke and Vader had a little bit of dialogue with the Force connection. Like, and then Luke spoke to Ben as well. Like, Ben, why didn't you tell me? Like, you know, this whole conversation through the Force thing, that's what I really, really, really like right now. So I hope to see that develop and see where that takes us in 9. And I also want to see my guy with a blue cross guard lightsaber.
David, I know you dropped out for a second. You, I know
you're, yeah, I'm sorry, man.
Your thought.
You're, we're going to get this.
Go ahead. Yeah, it's fine. Well, we got plenty more podcasts to really figure that out. But go ahead and finish up on your thoughts before you were dropped out.
Yeah, no, I think honestly, going back to what G said, where, you know, we have all these new Force abilities, and I'm sorry, I'm not trying to throw a spoiler out there, but I heard a leaked rumor that Luke was never actually on Octu in the first place. So who knows? We got a long ways to go, guys. It's, you know, we're like over a year away here. So it's exciting. Then that's the whole point, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's, you know, you take all these things with a grain of salt, but I think the biggest thing is that it's really a blank canvas for J.J. Abrams, and I think that's like super exciting.
Yeah, and I'm really looking forward to 9. I'm looking forward to all the twists and turns. Like, because the story is so open right now, and yeah, I know, like, there's a good chunk of people when they initially watched 8 didn't like it because they got rid of a lot of old characters. You know, kind of ending was kind of ended in a weird spot, but I think that at this point, you know, you, with the story being where it's at, you can basically take it any direction that you want. You know, if they want to end the trilogy, this third trilogy in 9, they can do that. If they want to go the anthology route, like G said earlier, they can definitely take it that way. I would love to. I feel like we're gonna get a confrontation between Rey and Kylo. I see that happening. Again, I don't know how that's gonna all turn out, but we're over a year away. You know, what of the resistance? You know, there's only there's only a small few remnant left of them. They've been completely devastated at the end of 8. You know, the First Order is in really good shape either. Most of their power base, like most of their leadership is like gone. You have Kylo, you have their commander there who was trying to take, like, it was trying to actually take control, but Kylo was like, no, it's like, this is mine. And you see it right at the end of the 8, there's some plotting, there's some scheming there. So, you know, where's that part of the story going to go?
I really hope that we learn more about the Knights of Ren, and that's just like a small detail for me. But I felt, you know, I was kind of disappointed with 8 that we didn't learn more about them, who they were. You know, pertaining to like Kylo and you know, how they helped him do what he did. So I really hope that we learn more about them in 9 as well.
Well, I don't.
Yeah, I agree with Dave. Like, being a Kylo Ren enthusiast, being a like super fan. I mean, with me, it was levels with him. Like, first, I wanted him to redeem himself individually, and second of all, I just didn't like Snoke and his antagonization. So him getting Snoke out the way was good. But I agree with Dave. And that's what's nice about 9. Fingers are crossed that Ben and the Knights of Ren do something. Like, maybe they ride together as a gang. Maybe they do something.
Or even just learning more about them.
Because, I mean, that's what, I mean, I mean, yeah, I'd like to learn more about him, but I'd like to also see them in action. Yeah. I mean, Luke said, Ben burned down the temple. He took a handful of my students and he slaughtered the rest. So whenever they transition to the Knights of Ren, I think JJ, Dave, I hope that he does something with that, bro. I agree.
I think he will, because I think that was his kind of baby, and it wasn't expanded on in 8. So I think for him, it's going to be something where he's going to be like, you know what? I want to talk more about this because, you know, I'm the one that originally introduced it to everybody and it never got expanded on. So I can definitely see him doing that.
Right. And I kind of understand why Rian Johnson did it. I mean, if you put it all in the movie, it'd probably have been 3.5 hours. And
yeah, there was a lot.
I'm going to tell you like this. And this is in real life, like an army or a group of people, they're only as strong as their leader.
Yeah.
No. And in this case, for the resistance, they had to put Rey in her place, wherever this is going to go. And they had to put Ben in his place. And like you guys, like we keep agreeing on, it's a blank canvas. Like, where are we going with this thing?
No one knows. And that's what's exciting about it.
Are the Return of the Hutts coming, man?
I guess we'll find out, man. I mean, you know, it's going to be some angry Hutts coming after your boy Ben, if that's the case.
Solo Bloodline. And that's why I love that. I love that, like, every time I watch Harrison Ford on any of them, man, and Princess Leia, man, I just love the fact that that dude was, like, Han Solo was the dude. Like, he was the man. Like, this is a character that has grown on me as I have become, I guess, older. Like, he's smooth with it. You know, he had the big cannon on the hip.
Yep.
He was a smuggler. He was a smooth talker. He gambled. But at the end of the day, man, you know, remember Han was like, I want my credits. Like, you're going to pay me, you know, pretty lady. And, you know, you like, I want the credits for the job. And then it just turned into like this heartfelt journey with the rest of the heroes. And, you know, Han Solo was the man, but I just, as the dad and General Leia Organa / Skywalker as the mom, I just think that's awesome. And I pray and I hope. Dave, you just got back on?
Dave? Yeah, he's back. Go ahead.
You guys hear me?
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, we can hear you now. Like I was saying, I just think the combination of Han Solo and Leia is awesome, and I just pray that Rey's a Kenobi, man, because that would,
I mean, it would tie it all together for sure. Real quick, let me wrap up my Chosen One theory. Yeah. So at the end of 3, we have Anakin and Palpatine, right?
Right, and Ben and Yoda are effectively out of the picture.
So we have a balance.
Right.
We have two dark and two light side users.
Okay.
So at the end of 3, at the end of 6, Return of the Jedi, we have Luke Skywalker left and no Vader and no Palpatine. But who have we learned at this point who was in existence?
It was Snoke. But like I said, we learned about him in 6. I mean, in 7, rather.
In 7. We didn't learn about him in 6. We learned about him in 7. But right. What we didn't know in 6 is that he existed.
Right.
So Anakin actually did.
When did we learn? Hold on, Dave. When did we learn that Snoke has always been in existence?
Well, we know that Snoke is extremely old, right?
My point is
when Vader threw Palpatine into the shaft on the Death Star and died,
yeah,
Luke was the only one that was left as far as we knew. But what we didn't know is that Snoke existed in the outer regions. So there's still a balance. You still have Snoke and Luke Skywalker. So Anakin actually did fulfill his prophecy. He balanced the Force in 3, and he balanced the Force in 6.
Hmm. Okay.
So you would say
he didn't know he was doing it. He didn't know you know, he didn't know Snoke existed. All we knew was that the Emperor was, you know, the greatest Sith that was out there. And he died, and Vader died, and Luke was left. And we just figured, hey, you know, that's, you know, there's a...
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all. I would just like to know more about Snoke and when he came about.
For
like,
sure.
I know what the novelization says, and I know what was on screen. I would like for them to elaborate more on where he came from, because to know his origin, I think that would satisfy like that theory the most, and that's probably one of the strongest I've heard, Dave. Like,
all right, so
and you know, I would like.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
So we know that between 6 and 7, it's about 30 years,
right?
Give or take. If you look up the timeline,
yes,
I would say that Snoke is more than 30 years old.
So that means he would have had to at least been around at least.
He would have already been around when the events of Return of the Jedi took place.
Right.
Well, I'm gonna use a direct quote from the novelization, okay. And when he was talking to Ben, he said to Ben, "I watched the Empire rise."
Well, there you go.
So
right
that
there.
Means that he was there when as like early as Episode 3 then.
We don't know how Palpatine was building the Empire a long time.
Yeah, we don't know how
we don't know how long Snoke's been watching. We don't know where he even comes from, but I do believe what Dave is saying. Like, that's an old dude.
So was Anakin, did he fulfill the prophecy? You could argue he did.
So would you say that Ben just threw it out of whack?
Would I say that Ben threw it out of whack? Not necessarily.
Like, I mean, Snoke's dead now. I mean, Snoke's dead, and so is
apparently,
Luke. So
we're still not 100% certain. Yes, he did fade away at the end, but there's still some theories about that one, and I'm pretty sure we'll get into that on another podcast. But go ahead.
Well, we should all assume that Luke is dead. I mean, let's not be like crazy here. Because that's speculation. Yeah. So if we assume that Luke is dead and we assume that Kylo and Rey are the only Force users, then the Force is in balance at this point. I think it's getting back to the original argument. What's going to make 9 interesting? There must be somebody else, something else out there.
What is there? Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Hey, Dave, what if, remember when me and you were talking before Episode 8 dropped, and I was like, Dave, Snoke. I know it was theoretic, but I said Snoke is a will.
Yep. We had that discussion many
like,
times.
What if they're like, you killed one of the wills, like you've done. I mean, what if Snoke was a will? What if he was like an evil will or a casted out will, but he was still considered part of the wills, and it gets back to them that he was killed.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember telling you, I was like, Dave, man, I think Snoke is a will. I mean, those two could possibly fight the wills. I don't know. I don't know, bro.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. But are the wills evil? We don't know if the wills are evil. I mean, I would fight them, but,
well, that's what I'm saying. It leaves Snoke. I mean, because Snoke, it's not like Snoke had a posse. You know what I'm saying? It's like he was that. But again, you know, what if he was an evil will? What if he was outcasted but considered still one of the wills? What if just killing one of the wills triggers something in the universe that brings them to the forefront?
Yeah, that's a good, it's definitely a good theory and something to think about for sure. That's what I loved about Rogue One, man, is that they got down to basically, you know, it was like they cut away all the like the nostalgia and that type of thing, and it's all about the Empire versus the Rebellion and the fact that the Force exists. But it wasn't like the romantic Force that we see in like the original trilogy and all the other movies.
Mm-hmm.
Which was really
cool. a different direction,
and it's that's why Rogue One is one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, mine too, man. It's nice. But yeah, fellas, I mean, this was good tonight. This was real good tonight. Did you guys want to wrap it up and say anything else?
Well, I feel like this is like a very good start to this podcast. I know that we're going to have a lot of like debates on here, a lot of discussions. I really look forward to see where this actually goes, and to see what other little tidbits that we actually decide to discuss about the Star Wars universe. I mean, yeah, you have like the main movies, but we've got games. We've got novels. We've got a ton of stuff that we can talk about.
Now you talking, Weezy. Duh, Weezy, I just went. I went out to Chantilly, Virginia, East Starland. I bought an original Xbox so I could play Knights of the Old Republic 2, the Sith Lords. Bro, listen to me real quick. I'm gonna end with this. The Force connection started with George, like talking over the distances started with George Lucas, with Leia and Luke, and with Luke and Vader when they would talk to each other through the Force. And they also came out with a game called Knights of the Old Republic 1 for Xbox. And it was a game based on the Force connection between a Jedi named Bastila and a Dark Lord of the Sith named Revan, Darth Revan. And I'm loving how they had, like, I love when they rehash and stay loyal to the George Lucas formulas and George Lucas ideas. All of this stuff comes from his archives. I don't care if it's an extension of LucasArts in the gaming division. Everything had to be run by Lucas. And I love that whole Force connection thing. But yeah, man, let's talk about the games, the movies, the books. I got toys, I got pillows, I got sheets. Man, hey, every day Dave on hit you with some merch.
Like I said, man, you're OG Alec Guinness, Obi-Wan. Come on, man. It doesn't get any better than that.
Oh.
No, but I'm in agreement with my man Weezy. I feel like we're gonna have fun. It's lots to talk about. You know, we got a year and a half away until episode 9.
Hey, you guys better like Solo. We're going to see.
Oh,
Solo.
There's going to be a review, and there's going to be a lot of talk about that one.
Bro, listen. They're already trashing Solo already. Like, I think this is something that
I don't even care, man.
I don't care either, Dave. Like at this point, to me, if you're a Star Wars enthusiast. Like, just talk about it. I don't got time to be like, you know what I mean, Dave? You know that rhetoric. You know that rhetoric. We don't even have to go there. But I want to see you guys at the Solo premiere. We're going to get it in.
No doubt.
Like, I can't wait.
No doubt.
I can't wait.
That is definitely happening. That is definitely happening. So, David, yes.
Hey, Weezy, you can't bring a Colt 45.
I'll bring whatever I want.
Hey man, don't be hiding that shit in your sock. Oh damn.
Had that blue milk with the Henny. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Let me check that backpack, sir.
Gentlemen, it was a pleasure, man. I'm going to wrap this up. We're going to I'm going to get a nice image on there. We're going to publish it, get a nice title, and begin. Like,
sounds good.
I'm down. I think somebody had suggested the lightsaber conversation, like your favorite hilt, your favorite design, what you love about it, what you know, just the whole lightsaber thing. But whatever you guys want to do next, I'm with it, man.
Yeah, I'm down with that. We'll discuss.
Definitely.
All right.
All right, guys.
All right, fellas. Out.
All right.
Out.
Later.